evening. It's good to see all of you here this evening. Pastor leaves town and you get saddled with me first rattle out of the box. Man, I'll tell you, that's something. If you come here expecting to hear some earth-shattering thing tonight, you're not going to hear it. We're not going to be here very long because most of the time I preach to truck drivers and they're on a schedule. They're rolling 24/7 and we don't have much time in between or anything, so this is not going to go as well as I've been rehearsing in my truck the last couple of days up and down the highway, me by myself. But I hope it gives you something to think about. That's my biggest goal, is to at least let you think about something that you may not think about before. Most of us here live on some acreage. I know I do, and I've got probably a half a dozen unfinished projects around my place that I get started on, and then I get sidetracked, or I start another project and I don't get finished with it. So I got a bunch of stuff that's unfinished. And a lot of times it may be in our job, it may be in our relationship, it may be in something else around it that we just kind of, we get sidetracked, we lose interest in it, or we don't we get too many projects going. I've probably, like I say, I got probably 8 or 10 projects that are not done. And some of them are larger projects. The larger project we got going, the more we get overwhelmed, and overwhelmed people seldom get things done. And that's with all of us. Unfinished business drains our energy without us even realizing it. And we worry about those things that we're going to have to get done or should get done or need to get done. And there's nothing more frustrating to me than to start something and not finish it. And then as I go through that, now with the internet and the Facebook and all that stuff, we can get sidetracked real easy. We seem to lose our focus and nothing gets finished. Feels like we're not getting nothing done. So if you don't get control of it, other things will become the driving force of your life, and you end up with what old attitude, well, I'll do it later, and later never comes. The success is to make every action count. Being intentional, we must finish. We must finish strong. That's not only in things we do around our house, but things we do for the Lord. We must finish strong. Many of you knew Brother Bashir's, and if you talked with him the last few months that he lived, that the one thing that he says, I want to finish well. I want to finish strong. And he always talked about that. If you turn your Bibles over to John, the 17th chapter, we're going to focus in on one verse. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. That's Jesus talking. Before he picked the 12 disciples or calmed the storms on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus spent a lot of nights in prayer. John 6:15 says, he departed again to the mountains to be by himself. And we focus in on the word again, because Christ done this over and over and over again. He would go by himself and pray. So he had everything in prioritized, everything that was in line. He focused in on the task, what God sent him to do. He prioritized it in importance. Do what was sent to do, to seek and to save, to die for our sins. And everything was ordered by sequence, and everything that Jesus done was ordered by sequence. A lot of times when I'm doing something around my house, my place, or whatever I'm doing, everything is kind of, even on my job, the things that I do is kind of goes in sequence. And if I get thrown off and I do something out of sequence, well, it messes me up. I got to go back and start over again. But Jesus had everything prioritized, that it was from his birth to the resurrection, everything had an order. It had a time frame. Set them for yourselves. Set those time frames for yourself, those things that you do. And he's assigned by abilities. Jesus had a large job to do. And he needed help. He spent 3.5 years discipling his 12 men to get the job done. So he delegated responsibility to them when he left. He delegated to them. They done their job. Now it's been delegated to us for us to do what we have to do. If you don't think you can do it, you don't think you can do whatever God has asked you to do, oh, I can't do that. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbridleth not, and it shall be given to him. When I got called to the truck stop ministry, the Lord called me and said, you know, and I thought, well, this ain't for me. I can't do this. And I went over there and found out. They said, well, come and we'll teach you what you need to do. We'll show you what's required of you and all that stuff. And I began to think, no. I became like Moses. I had a half a dozen reasons why I couldn't do what was asked of me to do. I couldn't do it. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not this. I'm not that. So I prepared a message and I went over there. Nobody showed up. Nobody showed up to see me fall on my face. And I said, see, Lord, you got the wrong guy for this job. So the guy that's in charge of the regional director, he said, will you come back next Sunday if you want to, and we'll try it again. Okay. So I went back the next Sunday, and in the chapel, it was standing room only in there. Everywhere. And as I left, I heard that small voice in the back of my head. See, it's not about you, son. It's about me. He showed me that right then and there, that's, you know, ask God what you can do, and he'll help you to finish. Jesus knew how to finish strong, and he tells us how to do it. Whatever you're doing, and if it's a personal task or a goal or something that God is asked you to do, don't give up. Don't give up. If I'd have listened to myself those first few weeks and months that I was at the truck stop, I'd have give up. But God kept saying, there. And this is a large crowd to what I'm usually to speaking of at the truck stop. You know, Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't give up, we'll reap. And over the years, I've seen some of the harvest that has come from that. There's times when I say, well, am I making a difference here at the truck stop? Am I? Because most of those men we never see again. We see them once, and it may be years before we see them again because of just their job. They're all over the country, back and forth, up and down and around. One day I got to having a little pity party for myself over there. Am I really making a difference? Maybe I should just give this up. And I went out in the lobby and I was inviting guys to the chapel to come to prayer. This one guy says, I'll be there. I said, okay, good. I didn't recognize him. I didn't pay any attention to who he was. And at the end of the service, I give everybody a chance to introduce themselves and tell where they're from and where they drive from. And the man sat right there and he said, 8 years ago, sitting right here, you led me to the Lord. And I said, wow, really? And the woman that was with me then is now my wife and we have 2 kids. God showed up. He showed there, and I thought, wow, this is really, am I making a difference? Yes. You'll see those things that you do for the Lord. They will come through. James Watt, he spent 20 years perfecting the steam engine. A fella named Willie Harvey worked for 8 years to demonstrate how blood circulates through the body. He spent 25 years trying to tell the medical profession how it was done. Most of us understand it takes time to achieve anything that we're doing. It takes time. You're not gonna get it overnight. You're not gonna see the fruit of your labors overnight, but just hang in there. You'll see it. We got to be willing to pay our dues and not cut corners, not give in to our moods. Oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. This is, if you find yourself continually doing that, you need to change your approach on the way you do things. Go in with a different attitude. Set a standard for yourself. Make yourself accountable for yourself and what you're doing. Self-discipline is a quality that one not only through practice, is won not only through practice. Successful people have learned to do what doesn't come easily for them. Boy, when I got called to the truck stop, I was way out of my league, out of my comfort zone and everything. R.H. Macy, the founder of Macy's Department Stores, failed at 5 different professions before he got the store done. He was a whaler, he was a retailer, he was a gold miner, a stockbroker, and a real estate broker. When he asked what sustained him through the failures of all these things, he said it was purpose and persistence. So whatever you're doing for God, whatever God has asked you to do, be persistent at it. Oh, it's not easy to do sometimes, to do that. And you know, when I do things, I find out things that it don't work. So I try something else, it don't work. Somebody said, well, you're a failure at that. I said, no, I'm not a failure. I just found several different ways it don't work. So... get after it. That's why Paul tells us, that's what separates us from those who achieve things that we do and those who just dream about it. And that's why Paul tells us, he writes, don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. You will get what you want. It's not easy to make yourself accountable. It's not easy. It's our human nature to pass the buck. To make yourself accountable, just like today, my wife come to me and she called me and she said, well, you know, there's something wrong with the back door latch. I said, okay, I know. Well, then she went into all this about what could be wrong with it, what couldn't be wrong with it. And I says, I know. You're about too late with that there, quick draw. I already know about it. But it makes me accountable. And then she tells me, she says, we got to do this. And then I worry about myself. Are we talking about we together, both of us? Or are you talking about you, we, or me, we? And usually at my house, it winds up being me, we, that winds up doing everything. But when things start to go wrong and you don't get it done, I can always find who the culprit is in my house. All I've got to do is go look in the mirror. The choices I made, I didn't do that. I got lazy on that. I got that I'll do it tomorrow attitude. I just have to look in the mirror. Personal accountability means you're more in control of your own destiny. You're a contributor. Nobody you contribute to the cause, and you're more than a passive observer. Others look at you for leadership. You become a problem solver. Satisfaction of getting things done lasts a lot longer than not doing them at all. And having the frustration, the helplessness, feeling better. Sometimes winning isn't coming in first. It's just getting the job done. It's just coming in. It's just crossing crossing the line. If the word quit is in your vocabulary, chances are the word finish is not. Finishing means staying on the job till it's done, or the task is done. It's about accountability, action, because even if you're on the right track, you can get derailed real easy. And that's part of my problem. I can get derailed. I can be, boy, just sickling right down the deal, and somebody says something to me, and I'm off in another direction. Somebody turned the switch, and the train's going this way. High achievers will tell you that life take on new meaning when you take on responsibility for your actions and pursue your goals with purpose and passion. Nothing compares to the rush of crossing the finish line. Nothing resembles, no one remembers who finished second or third. They always remember who finished first, except that person. 10 most important things to finish strong. If I wait for others to take the first step, you put it off on somebody else. If it's to be, it's up to me. If it's not me, who? If not now, when? Let me take a shot at it. Let me take a shot at doing this. I will not pass the buck. You can count on me. Is it my job? Let's just do it. There's an old boy says, get her done. Let's get her done. Let's get it done. So it's up to me. It's up to you to be more accountable for yourself, to keep the faith in things that you do and in things that God has asked you to do. You know, we get so weary sometimes of doing things. We get so weary. Well, what's in it for me? What's God got in it for me? Let me tell you something. You do something for God, something he's asked you to do, he's going to reward you in a way that it may not be here, but you're going to get rewarded. But he's going to give you something just like he did me that day. Yeah, I was making a difference. I made a difference in somebody's life, that one person. You know, and the same thing happened a few weeks later, a few months later, the chapel was full. And I brought a message in. Just like now, I write everything down. And I got to the end of my message, and I looked at the clock. And I got a lot of time left. What's the deal here? Maybe I missed a page or two. Now what do you do? Nobody was uncrossing their legs to get up to leave. Now what? And I heard this little voice says, when all else fails, go to your testimony. So I started going to my testimony. And then I heard that little voice again. It said, let somebody else. So I opened it up to everybody. This fellow over here give a testimony. This fellow give a testimony. This one give a testimony. That one give a testimony. And there was a guy in the back says, I want to give my testimony, but I want to sing it. We ain't got no music, fella. He says, I'll do it a cappella. And he sang a song about how God will provide a way. And it was good. It was really good. I fell on my face that day, but God showed up. And as I locked the door, there's a little song that says, little is much when God is in it. And I thought, wow, what a blessing that is. God will show you. And Jesus is our all-time greatest finisher of all time. You don't hear much about Jesus throughout the Bible as a boy. You don't read where Jesus took his first steps or he pulled up or he did this or he had that. You don't hear really much, a whole lot, till he's about 12. He's in the synagogue and he says, I must be about my Father's business, when they couldn't find him. Later on, he told his disciples, I must work the work of him that sent me. That's in John 9:4. Facing the cross, he said, to this end, I was born. For this cause, I came. That's John 18:37. And just before he died, he said, "It is finished." He'd done what God sent him to do. We have to do what God wants us to do, whether it be whatever it can be. We have to do what God wants us to do. You know, when I started preaching, I thought, well, now that I've already got this settled, that I'm going to be a chaplain at the truck stop, I can do it. But I want to preach like somebody else. I want to preach like so-and-so. I want to preach like this guy. I want to preach like Larry West. And I was driving down the road to go to work one day, and I had the radio on, and there was a preacher on there that he used the parable of the talents. And he used it in the form of the gifts that we're given. There are those people in our church that are excellent singers, that are good. They got lots of good talent. Then there are those people that are, not quite so good as them. They're still good, but they're not quite in whatever they're doing, hospitality, cleaning, or whatever it is. But then there's me. There's that one talent preacher. I'm that guy that stumbles and falls and don't do good. I'm only a one talent preacher. But he summed it up at the bottom. He says, whatever you're doing, whatever talent you got, whether you're a five or one, give the Lord the best you got and let him take care of the rest. And he will. He'll take care of you. He says, it is finished. Jesus stayed focused, and he finished strong. And that's what we need to do. We need to finish strong in what God. One day we can say, as Paul did in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Where are you this afternoon, this evening? Are you kind of lacking in what you want to do for, what you're trying to do for God? Are you not finishing what he's asked you to do? Are you stumbling? Are you so, well, I'll do it later. I'll get it done. We all start out a ball of fire on anything we do. We always wind up slacking off. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to finish strong tonight, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, today is the day, now is the time to accept him as your Savior. If you haven't done that yet, you can do that now. Right where you sit, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. It could be as simple as Peter when he was sinking in the ocean, Lord, save me. And if you're here this evening and maybe your walk with Christ is not as close as it used to be, maybe you're letting yourself down, you've let God down, your fellowship with him is not as good as it once was. Today, tonight, the altar's open if you want to reignite yourself with Christ. And if you're here this evening and you've got a praise for the Lord and you praise him for everything that he's done for you, and you know that you know if the sound of the Lord, if the trumpet were to sound today, you would spend eternity in heaven with Christ. I say hallelujah and I rejoice with you. I'm going to take a few moments for you to do business with the Lord, and then we'll be through. If you need to accept him as your Savior, the altars are open. If you need to get in close fellowship with him again, need to pray about something he's asking you to do, or if you just want to praise him, the altars are open. And we'll take a few minutes for you to do business, and we'll be done.